Welcome to the Como Politicast. I'm Jeff Pogel. Well, it's been a busy week in politics here in the Northwest. A new step forward in the Regional Homeless Authority. We'll get to that. Plus, a little bit later on, the latest moves on Initiative 976. And will there be a special session called to deal with it when the governor is undergoing surgery? All of that coming up. But joining me now is Como's Matt Markovich. And the homeless issue is something you have been covering for months and years. And the latest is that there was a vote of approval, at least one vote of approval, for this regional homeless authority. But there's still plenty of hurdles to clear.
Right.
What's going on right now?
So this was a significant vote that was that took place on Thursday by the Regional Policy Committee. Now, the Regional Policy Committee is made up of mayors, deputy mayors, city and county council people, 12 people on this committee. And so it's kind of like a region-wide approach to certain policies. So that's why it's an important committee. And what they decide has to go back to either King County Council or the City Council in its exact form to be voted on. So what the Regional Homeless Authority, this, what many have called this very fat bureaucratic layer of government, a brand new layer of government to take care of all the homeless response issues, not necessarily housing, but just how do we respond to the homelessness situation, both on the street and people who are hidden homeless. That authority went before the committee and got a unanimous approval. And basically, that was a big thumbs up from this region-wide group of lawmakers. And now the plan goes to the King County Council for approval and the Seattle City Council approval. But already on Thursday, the two council members representing Seattle, Bruce Harrell and Deborah Juarez, showed immediate concerns about certain key issues, including what is a quorum. And then later on that same afternoon, the Special Select Committee on Homelessness met for the Seattle City Council. And Lorena Gonzalez even brought up the issue of reciprocation by the smaller cities, because right now Seattle is ponying up most of the money for the first 5 years, $73 million, and King County is doing $55 million, and the 36, because we include Seattle's 37, 36 other cities in the county don't have to pony up anything. So then wrap it up in a bow. The Regional Policy Committee has passed it. It has to go to the King County Council, Seattle City Council, but they have to approve it as is. If they either council makes a change, it goes back to the Regional Planning Policy Committee. They make the changes, and it goes back to the King County Councils and the City Council. And eventually, the only two people that are going to actually sign it are the King County Executive Dow Constein and Mayor Durkin. So in the bottom end, and they those two have to approve it as well.
So this is, I think, what we call the Seattle process.
Yes, that's about it. Yeah.
Back and forth, and it takes forever for a decision to be made. And speaking of forever, is there a timeline? When do they want to get this done and operating?
Well, they'd like to get the decision to get it up and running by the end of the year, because already it's behind schedule. They literally, it's like starting a whole new company. They have to hire a CEO. They have to hire employees. They have to have a building where they're going to operate out of. It's like setting up a company from scratch. And this is a big, thick layer of bureaucracy, because you not just the employees that are run the authority and then where they're going to work and, you know, how that starts. They're actually people, and there's budgets already set and on hold right now for that to take place, and they can't launch those budgets. But I'm going back to the layer of bureaucracy, because in the end, what was the big compromise that got this through the Regional Policy Committee compared to what the original form was back in September was that the electeds are now in charge of this authority. Previously, electeds picked a board of experts, and the experts would decide the funding, how the funding would be spent, as well as what the policies would be. But that has changed now. The elected said, hey, that's our job to spend taxpayer money. So now they have this new governing board of nothing but 9 elected officials and 3 formerly homeless. So it's 12 people. And they will decide the big decisions, policy, how the money will be spent, who's going to be the CEO, the big decisions. And then another 13 people are below them that are the board of experts, the panel, they call it the implementation board. Those are the experts from the existing homeless response agencies who will actually implement, that's why they call them the implementation board, implement what the governing committee decides. So if you include the CEO, that's 25 people who will have an opinion about how homeless should be, homeless response should be in the Seattle and King County area.
So this would be like herding cats, try to get 25 people to agree on anything, let alone something as controversial as this. And none of those people, if I understand it correctly, none of them are elected to this board. No. They're elected to, whether it's the Seattle City Council or the King County Council or whatever it happens to be, and then by virtue of their position there, they get on this board. So there's a layer of political cover for them in the actions they do in dealing with the homeless crisis.
Yeah, you think of it, I have, when people ask me, how do you compare this to, well, I'll, for people kind of in the know about government, it's kind of like a board of health. So we have the Seattle slash King County Board of Health, and they decide the all the health, major health decisions in the county and the city. So it's a cooperative group, and on that board, which is only five people, last time I taken, are like two elected officials. So it's a board of five people. Here you have a board of 12, which talks to another board of 13 plus one CEO. So it's not by scale. It is massive compared to a board of health, but it's kind of like the same framework.
And each of those people presumably are going to get paid some sort of stipend or salary. Then you've got the CEO and then how everything's implemented. And of course, this is alternative because the county or the city could change all of this and then they'd have to go back to the drawing board.
That's right. And so right now, there are negotiations going on right now addressing some of the city of Seattle concerns because they want to move this fast. There's going to be meetings next week where both the King County Council and the Seattle City Council will be voting on this in either in a committee form or the full councils. And that's next week is pretty much the last week of meetings for the city and King County. If they don't get it done by the end of next week, pretty much, then it goes into next year. And then you have
the brand new city council.
Yeah, four new members of the Seattle City Council will be joining after the first of the year, and maybe they have some tweaks that they want to do.
So this is going to be interesting and much more of the Seattle process to come. We have to take a quick break here on the Como Politicast, but when we come back, the latest on Initiative 976 and the fight of Tim Iman and the Attorney General, all of that coming up in just a moment right here on the Como Politicast.
Information is power. Everything you need to know before you get to work. The Como Morning News on the Northwest's only all-news station. Como News 1000, FM 97.7, and comonews.com.
Welcome back to the Como Politicast. I'm Jeff Pogela, joined frequently by Como's Matt Markovich. And now let's talk a bit about Initiative 976, the $30 car tabs. This is the third such initiative that initiative guru Tim Iman has put forward. But I haven't seen him respond like this to any of his initiatives previously. He has really been out there fighting the injunctions that the King County judge has issued, and now the fact that the state Supreme Court upheld that injunction. Now he's announced that he's running for governor. And the latest thing that's happened this week is that state Supreme Court ruling, essentially saying that the lower court's ruling putting it on hold stands until the adjudication works itself out. What are you seeing on the street in talking with people in their response to this?
Well, I think you have the will of the people essentially behind Tim Iman. Mm-hmm. I mean, outside of King County, there are 39 counties in the state, and I-976 did not carry in six of them. So a majority of the counties carried I-976. In fact, in
which means they wanted $30.
Yeah, they wanted in counties way down like in Pasco, Franklin County, 72%. Voted in favor of I-97, in favor of $30 car tabs. King County, the big gorilla, did not. And that's what's carrying most of the anti-Tim Iman fever right now. All of the rest of Washington is in favor of Tim Iman. So he does have some political inertia in that way. And I think that what he's trying to capitalize is merge, like you said, that he's running for governor, so he wants to be very visible. He knows how to work the media. And he's got a hot topic issue because people want $30 car tabs. And he's got this whole logic, the democratic process is no good in Seattle, in Washington State. You have an initiative, and then Politicians sue to stop it. So where's the will of the people? Where's the will of the people? Mm-hmm. And it's a very simple argument to understand. And why not have the will of people take effect as it should have on December 5th, when all the car tabs should have dropped down to $30. And the way I describe how I-976 works, because people are thinking, well, I thought we had $30 car mm-hmm. tabs, you know, from 20 years ago. And I'll give credit to Tim Eyman for this visual, and it's a good way to describe it. We've had $30 car tabs. Think of it as a boat. And over the last 20 years, various jurisdictions, by law, can add taxes to it, and to like barnacles on the boat. Mm-hmm. So what I-976 basically did is scrape the barnacles off the boat so that we go back to what we've always had, except all these extraneous taxes that paid for various transportation projects, RTA projects, and the ones that are not bonded right now, that because you have to commit to those. Those projects, like maybe ST4, you know, way down the line, that's a barnacle that was scraped off as for I-976.
And you saw another filing by the by Clint Didier, right, who is a perennial candidate and eventually got elected to the Franklin County Commission a while back.
Three-time Super Bowl champion.
Yes, and three-time statewide candidate and lost all three times as well. Mm-hmm. But nevertheless, he filed I don't know if you'd call it a suit, but and it certainly wasn't an amicus brief, but he accused or said that King County can't be impartial in this case and it should be moved out of King County. Mm-hmm. The state Supreme Court, without it even going to the justices, the court commissioner wrote a rather scathing rejection of that argument and sent it back. That came out early on, I believe it was Wednesday or Thursday, mm-hmm. and then later on that day was when the state Supreme Court, by a vote of 6-3, mm-hmm. Upheld the lower court's injunction. Where do you see this ultimately going? Because you have all these legal arguments, whether it's the merits of the case or the fact that the AG didn't do a good job or that the judge can't be impartial. I mean, there's so many moving parts to this.
I think it's going to be put on hold. And now the wild card is the special session, which could resolve this, as mm-hmm. we talked about before 20 years ago when Gary Locke had a special session to resolve the very first $30 car tab initiative and its legal woes. Will that happen? Well, I don't know. I mean, you have a governor at the time, right now with Governor Inslee, who is adamantly against I-976, whereas Gary Locke wasn't that way back in the first 20 years ago. So he was more he would call a special session realizing I'm going to fix this because that's the will of the people, and that's what they did 20 years ago. On the other hand, you have Governor Inslee, who campaigned against I-976 mm-hmm. practically, said it should not pass, made a very big political deal about it. So now that you have a lower court stopping it temporarily, why should he call a special session? There's no political reason until the real session starts up in January.
Well, that's timing's the other issue. It's the regular session starts in early January. The lawmakers are doing Christmas break with their families. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just going to be a couple of weeks anyway. Mm-hmm. But a special session could come to pass. We'll talk about that when the Como Politicast continues in just a moment.
Everything you missed while at work, update and unwind on the way home. The Como Afternoon News on the Northwest's only all-news station, Como News 1000, FM 97.7, and comonews.com.
Welcome back to the Como Politicast. I'm Jeff Pogela, joined as almost always Matt Markovich, and we've been talking Initiative 976, and we got a little bit into the various arguments over its constitutionality, whether or not the Attorney General did his best to defend the initiative. Tim Eyman says he didn't. The Solicitor General says, that's just ridiculous. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on, but one of the things that Republicans have been doing, they've been calling for a special session to, quote, fix Initiative 976 and the various constitutional issues that it has so it would pass muster in the courts. That happened 20 years ago with Governor Gary Locke. Hasn't happened yet under Governor Jay Inslee, but Governor Inslee is undergoing surgery on Monday, so he will be under a general anesthetic for about 7 hours, having a hip replacement. The lieutenant governor is out of town. Who's next in line in the line of succession? Republican Secretary of State Kim Wyman will take the reins of Washington state government on Monday. She will have the power to call a special session of the legislature if she so wanted.
The likelihood of that happening, I mean, that sounds like a nice conspiracy theory, but it's a good one. But I doubt if that's actually going to happen, because you would have the heads of the House and Senate, Democrats, are going to say, no way we're going to let that happen. You know, she can't just do that. It'd be obviously a political stunt. I think it would backfire. But, you know, the reality in that nice little theory is a good one to talk about.
Yeah, but she does have the power to call the state legislature into special session, as any governor or acting governor would. Now, I had
As soon as she calls it with the lieutenant governor when he comes into town, or when Governor Inslee comes out of his anesthesia, you know, he comes alive, can you say, no, I'm not going to let that happen?
I spoke with the governor's office, or I should say I exchanged emails. They said they weren't concerned at all that Kim Wyman would do this, take advantage of the 7 hours where she's in power to call that special session. Reached out to Kim Wyman's office, haven't been able to get a hold of them, so I don't know if they're on vacation or they just didn't want to even address the issue.
I think maybe she'll go over to the mansion and have a good meal on the governor's expense, the governor's mansion. There you go.
Yeah, but, you know, it's certainly something to think about, but I, you know, knowing Kim Wyman as I do, I've interviewed her many, many, many times. She knows me by first name. I know her by first name. And I don't think she's one, the type of person, or two, the type of politician who would do that.
No.
She is not the typical Republican that you see in elected office in the Trump era. She's much more moderate, much more willing to work with the other side, much more compromising.
But I think if we had our own Trump-esque Republican candidate for governor, his name is Phil Fortunato, and he had 7 hours at his will. If he happened to be in that position, then I could say, yeah, that may happen. You know, I think somebody like him would do it.
But it's an interesting thought experiment. But we'll have to see come Monday what exactly happens. Matt Markovich, thank you as always for joining us.
You're welcome.
And that will do it for this episode of the Como Politicast. I'm Jeff Poggiola. Thank you for listening, and have a good week.